It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
I can't see us, though. But maybe we don't want to see ourselves then.
Consequence Podcast Network.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See home club for details.
For Hey Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks as always for making your way here, checking out the series, the episode. I do hope you subscribe, because when you do, you get three new interviews sent to you every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones, all the usual spots, including Spotify and Apple Podcast, at NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Some of my recent guests on here have included, Barry Manilow, Idina Menzel, Corey Finley. He directed Landscape with Invisible Hand. We had the team behind the Netflix movie They Clone Tyrone. That's Jewel Taylor and Tony Rettenmeyer. Madison Beer was here. The cast of Heart of Stone with Gal Gadot. We had Fosia, Bethany Cosentino from Best Coast. Victini, not even to mention the 800th episode special that just happened a few weeks ago that included a monster roster of guests. Josh Homme, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Suki Waterhouse, Janelle Monáe, Keanu Reeves, Rob Lowe, and Monica Bellucci. Those are just some of the recent episodes you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, I get to talk with The Hives. They are back with a brand new record called The Death of Randy Fitzsimmons. It's their first album in 11 years. I've got Hallam Pele and Nicholas Arson here to tell us about how depressing it was to not have any new material for that long, how this LP might speak to their 30th anniversary, which is this year, and the desire to keep creating music that feels more like youth than maturity. The Swedish rocker is also going to give us the stories behind songs Bogus Operandi and The Bomb. We'll hear about them playing a 110-degree show in Italy and getting a major compliment about their live show from the drums. All that and more as we discuss the death of Randy Fitzsimmons. It's Kyle Meredith with the Hives.
Hey, good to see you, man. And thanks for the praise.
Yeah, well, it's I meant it too. The world missed the Hives, at least new music from you guys. And I know you haven't totally gone away with the shows and everything, but this new record, The Death of Randy Fitzsimmons, it's so good. Maybe it's just because we haven't heard you in a minute. Maybe it's because this is exactly what I needed to hear right now. But this has been such a shot of adrenaline to my ears. So first off, thank you and congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's awfully nice of you. And exactly what I think we tried to achieve. For the record to pass, bypass the brain and go straight to the adrenal system.
You've done it well. So, what does it mean, though? I know there's been a lot of talk about it, but I think every band hits that point, maybe, that, you know, some extra time passes and it gets longer in between the albums. What starts ramping back up? What are the conversations that begin with this record that's like, my God, we have to have something new?
Well, I think we wanted something new the entire time. We didn't have something new, and that was depressing. It was for millions of reasons just not possible, I guess. But yeah, it does feel that when we were younger and we saw other bands doing it, like famously, you know, Waiting for Chinese Democracy by Guns N' Roses or so. But we're only like a few years better than that now, which seems insane. Back then it's like 13 years, like that's like whole band careers, but man, it goes by in a flash. Maybe Axel will agree on it.
Luckily, this is a lot better than Chinese Democracy. And I'm not even knocking that album. I'm just saying that this is...
I remember a few... I had its moments, I think. I think there's probably been 10 versions of it, though. So maybe there was a sweet spot like a couple of years before we released it when it was really good. It's possible.
Well, that's always the thing, though, with making a record, too. It's knowing where that sweet spot is. I mean, I think there was an interview with your producer, Patrick Berger, who had just mentioned, like, there were lots and lots of demos and you have to figure out which songs. And that seems like
it's definitely overcooked. Maybe.
Well, I think that seems like a scary, I would think it's not scary, but like having to make those decisions when you've got lots of songs to choose from, it's not like your first album, maybe where you're like, all right, these are the songs. It's like, suddenly it's like, now you've owned your craft. Now you've been around a while. Now you know how to be a songwriter. And maybe you have 100 songs. How do you find the 12?
I mean, in the past, we never really had much extra. It was pretty much what was on the album was all that we had finished. But I guess this is different. And a lot of those, you know, what he talks about, all those demos are not finished. But you got to figure out which ones to finish. But yeah, it's not. That has been part of the problem, I think.
The songs have to kind of complement each other. In a way that, you know, that the record sort of travels in a way. It has to go from one type of song to another and they all have to make up an album.
And kind of make each other better.
Yeah. If you pick the right ones, then you can make all the songs can, you know, be slightly better just by the sequencing, really. And then the record will be, I don't know, kind of more rewarding to listen to anyway.
It just makes me wonder, are there those songs that are just so left field out there? It's like, that doesn't sound anything like this record.
There's probably songs there that don't sound anything, but I also think like What Did I Ever Do To You kind of doesn't sound like the rest of the record, you know. And that's one of the more out there things that existed in this whole kind of chunk of music, unorganized music that, you know, later ended up in a funnel and ended up on the album. There were a lot of things going into it that didn't make it through the whole process.
Yeah, and I think maybe even songs that would be considered kind of left field would be, if you put them in the right sequence and they make up a great album, then it will sound cohesive regardless, you know. You'll end up with a product that sounds like it was always meant to be. That's kind of the feeling that you're going.
And we'll be right back right after this.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with The Hives.
What did you all want this record then? I don't know. Maybe it just comes naturally. But at some point, once you start to kind of feel like what the record's going to be, do you then have that thought that what you want this record to sound like, what this record might represent? Because it's not only, you know, the first record in maybe a decade, but this also lands on what's, I think, technically the 30th anniversary year as well. I mean, do you find that it gets to speak to that moment?
In a way, I guess. I mean, even if it's unintentional, it kind of does. Like, the album is kind of a celebration of, like, you know, life in a way. Like, you know, that it feels like you said, like a shot of adrenaline. It's supposed to just kind of have this insane, euphoric, like, feeling to it. And I guess that's, like, what we always were trying to do. So in that way, I think it celebrates the legacy of the band in a good way, that it's not like, oh, an adult kind of sentimental or looking back on the Golden Days record, which was, it has to feel like now, I think. And that's what we always tried to make the music sound like.
Yeah, it's not really an anniversary record in any way. I mean, it's not an anniversary record celebrating the 30 year of existence. And it's not really an anniversary record celebrating 11 years since we made a record last. None of those things are, it's just a record. It's just a new record. So, I mean, we wanted to come out with a record that's, you know, a complete banger, you know, come out of the gate running.
I also don't think we think that staying together for a long time is really a badge of honor in rock and roll. I mean, it's hard to do, but it doesn't mean that it's better. Rock and roll is like a weird thing where you can be the best at it when you've never done it before. You know, there are like amateurs that make one song at 15 that's like almost better than anything we've done after 30 years of trying, you know. So it doesn't like time in the game is not really, that doesn't decide how good it is at all. So we have to keep trying, you know, we have to keep our tools sharp and, you know, feel excited about it. Otherwise, like, you can't just park yourself and just stay together for a long time. I don't think that counts really.
Yeah. Making good records and touring is way more important, you know. Being together in a shit band for 30 years is, like, I guess, less rewarding. Being in a good band is rewarding in itself.
I think that's why we don't want to celebrate anniversaries, because it's not like, that's not the point. Like, the point of the time spent is it good or not?
It's so funny how reverse it is. Like, if you're a plumber and you work for 30 years, you're a better plumber. But there's that idea that if you're a rock and roller for 30 years, that people tend to like your new music less in for some reason, you know, and I think there's a lot of psychology that goes into that too, but that's, it is funny just how reverse it is. And and Pelle, what's that quote that's floating around, that there's no maturity or any of that bullshit, because who the fuck wants mature rock and roll?
No, at least I don't. That's not what I think the hype should be doing. I guess I like some mature rock and roll, as in like a Dire Straits, or I can get down with that, but there's enough of that. Because rock and roll's been around for a long time. So there's a lot of mature rock and roll. I think what we were missing, or, you know, was the kind of immature feeling of being a teenage idiot, kind of. And I think you still get to decide to do that even as you age. You can still keep a part of that in you. And I think that's good for, it's good for you. You know, you got to be that person sometimes.
It's just, and at the crossroads, it's either or. Either you go down, you know, immature rock and roll or mature rock and roll.
There was just something I felt so depressing about the Hives coming back after 11 years. Adults. It just felt like come back like parrots, you know.
Right. Here's your mid-tempo acoustic record. That's
yeah. And also be like, here's what you shouldn't do, and like give people advice or whatever. You don't get smarter as you age, or you don't get wise. It's not, you know, you might be wiser when you're 20 sometimes. It's the same thing. It's not linear like that.
I think about a quote that Black Francis from the Pixies, Charles, what he used to say, because...
Wait, his name is not Frank Black? Charles?
Black Francis, he's Frank Black when he's solo, and then he's Charles to his kids.
Oh, so, okay. I didn't know that. I like that guy though.
But, you know, he would talk about how, you know, the people held the Pixies to that, you know, their early years, that sound, and he goes, oh, it's almost like you have to try to make yourself sound like you, whatever you're doing was an accident, you know, to appease people.
Yeah.
And I feel like that would become harder.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you can have a moment of inspiration. Yeah, it's hard to recreate. Like, some shit just comes out good because that's what you happen to be doing that day. Like, it's almost like wind. Like, it was blown the right direction. It came out good. But that's harder to recreate, like, or impossible. You just have to do it until it feels good or whatever.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with The Hives.
Well, you know, I do want to bring up some of the songs. And it's interesting, just the beginning of the record, and maybe this is what you all are talking about, because when you sequence it and it becomes something that maybe it wasn't beforehand, but having Bogus Operandi going into Trapdoor Situation, it really sets up sort of a macabre beginning, which is a very funny macabre beginning, but there's a little bit of that darkness there. And you know, so maybe that's it. What's the story you're telling?
They're telling different stories, the two different songs. But I guess, like, in a sequencing way, it felt a lot of Hives albums start out with a really short, intense song, and then we play like a hit, or what we consider a hit. Like, this sounds like something people might like. And we've had a few records where we swap it. So it like starts with the hit, which is, and then you, the second one is like the insane, like nuts energy shot. But we, like, I love the way the album starts with that Bogus Operandi intro. Is amazing, I think. And that was not what it sounded like at all at the beginning. Like, it took a lot of versions to get to just going boom. There were versions with drums and without and whatnot. Like, it sounds simple, but it took us a long time to figure it out. But that was the coolest way to start the first record after 11 years. Just going boom with a distortion pedal.
It kind of starts with that feed. We want you react to a feedback in guitar. That's how it starts, you know. It just goes, and then it.
We don't have hits, and usually we don't have distortion on guitars. We don't. It's pretty clean guitar sounds, so they don't really feedback in a cool way. I don't know if this is getting too technical, but our guitar sounds usually just go wee, like a bad PA system. To get that smooth sort of wee heavy metal feedback, you got to get different amps and shit. Like, we got a Marshall stack for the first time, I think, on a Hives record, or maybe not the first time.
First time
with a cranked Marshall stack. It felt like, yeah, that's rock and roll. It's funny.
Well, at least the feeling of lyrics then reflected the idea of rock and roll, and it did. It's so fun, and that goes throughout the record. I mean, you know, the bomb. You're listening to the bomb.
That's not terribly mature, is it?
Not every song, and I'm not saying this does or doesn't have something to say, but it makes me think, like, not every song has to have something to say. Some songs are just. Might be just fun.
It kind of works like poetry sometimes. It's just the way the words make you feel in combination with the music. That is like the message. It's not literally like that guy's a bomb and he's also a bomb. Like, that's not, it's not about how you feel listening to it. But weirdly, that the bomb song, which sounds like, to me, it sounds like something somebody just came up with. We spent years on that thing. Yeah. There were a million
probably
versions
more than
of that 10
years.
Too. It was like one of the hardest songs to get right. And it definitely doesn't seem like that. Like, it doesn't sound like the Hives are spending their time wisely, exactly. But it is. It's important that song was like that and took all those turns, I guess.
That's interesting. And by the way, that line, which I bring up, I had to grab my phone because my wife and I now text the line to each other. Do I have that right? What don't you want to not don't want to do?
I don't even know myself anymore. It was a lot of flipping back and forth. A lot of triple and quadruple negations.
Like, how you pull that off live? Yeah, it's a tightrope.
We haven't tried yet. We'll see.
Speaking of, by the way, live, I want to quickly bring up as we're getting to the end here, because the shows have been selling out in like this record amount of time. And you all have this reputation, you know, been called one of the greatest live bands in the world that you continue to be. Hopefully that's, again, probably just something that comes natural, but knowing that you have that reputation, I don't know, are you allowed an off night? Is there a little bit of pressure?
No, we did some of our last couple of shows we played during a heat wave in Italy and Greece. And I don't know the commercial, but like, I guess like 110-ish degrees in the shade or something. So it's like standing in a hairdryer in like a polyester suit and doing karate kicks and screaming. It's like, it feels like there almost might be permanent, like a permanent problem with you after that. And we don't have another gear than full tilt. It just hurts differently on different nights.
Well, just knowing what you guys still pull off, it is incredible. And I don't know that many bands are just doing what you guys still do out there. Do you guys watch live music? Do you see other bands?
Yeah, yeah, all the time. And I don't think anyone's doing what we're doing. But yeah, I see a lot of great live bands, but they're very... There was some band, the Drums is a band we met on tour in Australia. We met them in South America, and I was eating breakfast, and one of the guys came up to me and was like, whatever it is you're doing, no one else is really doing that. I'm like, okay, yeah, that sounds good. Sounds like a good place. But I think it's also because it's taken us a very long time to get good at it, and it's hard, and it's weird, and it's not for everybody, I guess. But in our little niche thing, we're it, basically.
I love it. I love what you guys do. I love this record. I'm hoping there's a trend. I was just thinking about the death of Randy Fitzsimmons, and Blur just released The Ballad of Darren, and they don't have anything to do with each other. But then again, if that's a trend, you know, with rock bands, I'm in for that as well. Something about those song titles. But thank you guys. Thank you guys for continuing to do what you do. And I so appreciate you taking the time to talk about it.
Thanks for noticing.
Thank you very much.
It means a lot, yeah, man. Thank you so much.
And my thanks to The Hives, The Death of Randy Fitzsimmons. It's out now. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Again, please do hit that subscribe button while you're hanging around so you can get all of the interviews that we put out every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So again, a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover those new ones at all the usual spots, including Spotify and Apple Podcasts, at NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And then after that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. You get 4 hours of the biggest in new music, the best in new music, I should say. Also, some great classics. We do anniversary spins. There's lots of music news, bonus interviews. One of my recent shows had the music of 80s U2. We did Morphine, Pulp, The Doors, Joni Mitchell, Moon Taxi, Bob Mould, Olivia Dean and Leon Bridges, The Ills, Elliot Smith, Jeff Buckley, Black Joe Lewis, The Chili Peppers, Deer Tick, Ike and Tina, Jurassic 5, Biba Doobie, Sufjan Stevens, Lucinda Williams, R.E.M., Joan Jett, The Gaslight Anthem, Sharon Van Etten, Veruca Salt, Grace Potter, Father John Misty, Belle and Sebastian, and my interview with Ian Hunter of Monte Hoople. That's just an example of what you get every weeknight at 6 p.m. at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. Of course, you can also find me on the social media spots, any of the social media spots. The address is at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
Consequence Podcast Network.
That's a very small cup of coffee for an American.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.